Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an Amen-style top loop in Ableton Live 12 with crisp transients up top and dusty mids underneath, so it feels alive, human, and properly underground. This is a really useful move in drum and bass, especially in roller, jungle revival, dark ragga, and neuro-leaning styles. The point is not just to make the break louder. The point is to give the track identity. We want punch on the attacks, grime in the body, and enough space left over for the kick, sub, and bassline to breathe. So let's get into it. First, choose a break with character. If you have a classic amen or an amen-derived chop, great. If not, any break with strong snare hits, ghost notes, and a bit of natural swing will work. Drag it into an audio track in Ableton, then set your warp mode. If the loop is already closed to time, keep the warping light. We want the feel of the source, not a sterilized, over-edited version of it. A good starting level is around minus 12 to minus 9 dB peak before processing. That gives you enough headroom to shape the sound properly. And here's a teacher tip. Do not overclean the source at this stage. A little roughness is part of the charm. Amen-style drums are supposed to sound sampled, chopped, and lived in. Now we need to turn that break into a useful two-bar phrase. You can do this by working directly in the audio clip or by slicing it to a new MIDI track using transient slicing. Either way, think like an arranger, not just a loop repeater. Keep the main snare hits on strong backbeats. Use ghost hits, hats, and little break fragments to fill the spaces. Then make bar 2 slightly different from bar 1. That variation is what stops the loop from feeling like a copy-paste job. You might add a tiny fill, a reverse slice, or a short vocal style chop right before the loop resets. For rad energy, that little call and response moment at the end of bar 2 can be huge. Even a quiet rim, shaker, or vocal chop can make the whole loop feel like it's talking back to the bass line. Now we're going to split the processing into two different jobs, because this is the real key. One layer handles the crisp transient attack. The other layer handles the dusty mid-range character. If you try to do both with one chain, the loop usually gets smeared or overly aggressive. Put an audio effect rack on the break track and create two chains. Name one chain transient and crisp. Name the other dust and mid grit. On the transient chain, start with EQ8. High pass somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz, depending on the source. Then, if the snare needs more edge, try a small boost around 3 to 6 kHz. If the hats get too fizzy, gently dip around 8 to 10 kHz. Keep the moves small. In this style, tiny EQ changes often do more good than dramatic ones. After that, add drum bus. Push transient up somewhere around 10 to 30, add a bit of drive, and keep boom off or very low. Use saturator after that if you want a bit more density, but don't overdo it. Soft clip on, output trimmed. Nice and controlled. This chain should give you the snap and the bite without bringing in low-end clutter. Now on the dust and mid-grit chain, do the opposite. Use EQ8 to high-pass around 120 to 180 Hz and low-pass somewhere around 10 to 12 kHz if needed. If the loop feels too thin, add a small boost in the 500 Hz to 2 kHz area, because that's where a lot of sampled break character lives. Then add saturator with a bit more drive, maybe 4 to 9 dB. With color and soft clip on. If you want extra lo-fi texture, add a touch of redux or erosion, but keep it subtle. You want dusty mids, not digital fizz and chaos. Blend the two chains until the loop has clear attacks on top and a worn, gritty interior underneath. Now let's shape the transient feel a bit more. This is where a lot of people just reach for compression too fast, but what we actually want is transient control first, loudness second. Add drum bus or a transient shaping style chain, with glue compressor after it. A good starting point is drum bus transient around 15 to 35, drive around 3 to 10%, then glue compressor with a 2 to 1 ratio, attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and release on auto or around 0.3 to 0.6 seconds. You only want about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. If the loop gets too pokey, back off the transient amount or slow down the compressor attack. If it feels dull, bring back some upper mid energy with a small boost around 5 kHz or reduce the compression a little. The goal is sharp, not spiky. Tight, not flat. Next comes the grit. This is where the loop starts to feel like an Amen-style edit instead of just a clean audio file. Use saturator, overdrive, pedal, roar, or erosion, depending on the flavor you want. For a classic ragga and jungle feel, saturator is a great place to start. Put the distortion before EQ if you want harmonics generated first, or after EQ if you want to tame harshness after the fact. A strong starting point is around 5 dB drive on saturator, soft clip on, and maybe 60 to 80% wet if it's inside a rack chain. If you use overdrive, focus at roughly in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz area. That's the region where dusty sampled brakes really start to talk. The important thing is to enhance the 200 Hz to 3 kHz zone without making the loop boxy or brittle. Now we need to make the groove breathe. Use the groove pull if the brake feels too rigid. A little swing can go a long way, something around 53 to 58% depending on the tempo and vibe. But be careful. In fast DNB, too much swing can make the brake feel lazy instead of urgent. This is also where micro-edits matter. Pull one hat slightly late. Push a ghost snare slightly early. Duplicate a tiny slice into a fill. Leave some asymmetry in there. That imperfect, chopped feel is part of why the amen sound is so addictive. If every hit is perfectly lined up, you lose that human urgency. Since this lesson is in the rag elements area, let's add one or two small accents. These should support the loop, not crowd it. A chopped vocal syllable, a quiet rim shot, a woodblock, or a shaker fragment can all work really well. Put a vocal chop on the end of two, or just before the second bar comes back around. Keep it much lower than the main snare, and high pass it so it doesn't muddy the break. A nice trick is to send just those accent hits into a short echo. Try 1/8 or 1/8 dotted timing, low feedback, narrow filtering, and low dry/wet. That gives you attitude and movement, without washing out the transients. Little details like that can make the loop feel like it's got personality. Now route the whole thing to a drum bus or group. Even though this is a top loop, it still needs to sit inside the full drum system. On the bus, use a Q8 to high pass around 150 to 220 Hz, and if needed, carve a little around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz if the loop is getting sharp. If the break is fighting the bass harmonics, take a little out around 180 to 300 Hz. Then use glue compressor lightly, again just about 1 to 2 dB of reduction, so the loop stays cohesive without losing punch. In drum and bass, the low-end relationship is sacred. The top loop should energize the track, not steal the foundation from the sub and kick. After that, we need movement across the arrangement. A static loop will get boring fast, even if it sounds great. So think in states. Make a brighter version for the drop start, and a dirtier, slightly filtered version for the main body of the section. Switch between them over 8 or 16 bars. That tiny evolution keeps the track feeling alive. You can automate auto-filter cutoff during a build, increase saturator drive slightly into the drop, throw a little reverb on the last snare of a phrase, or automate echo feedback on a ragga chop for a transition. A great DNB arrangement often uses the break as a recognizable identity marker, then mutates it just enough to keep the energy moving. At this point, compare versions. Duplicate the track and make a few different prints, a clean one, a dirtier one, and a more aggressive drop version. Use mute and solo to /B them quickly. Check which one leaves the most room for the bass line, which one still feels punchy and mono, and which one keeps the groove exciting at both low and high volume. That mono check is important. A top loop can sound huge in stereo and then fall apart in a club system. We want it to stay readable, solid, and punchy no matter where it's played. Once it's working, resample the loop to audio. This is a really smart move because it makes future editing easier. You can chop fills, reverse hits, and build transitions much faster once the loop is printed. Also, resampling often gives you that extra layer of accidental grit that sounds more authentic than endless tweaking. Let's quickly cover the main mistakes to avoid. Don't overcompress the break. If the snare loses its snap, the loop loses its identity. Don't leave too much low end in the top loop. High pass it properly so the bass has room. Don't make it bright when you really want crisp. Crisp is about attack definition, not just more high frequency. Don't distort the whole loop equally. Split the attack and grid into different paths. And don't ignore the bass relationship. Always check the loop in context, not just in solo. A few pro moves before we wrap up. Try band limited dirt, where you distort the mids but leave the top and bottom cleaner. Resample after shaping, and then re-chop the result. Add a tiny bit of modulation to the dusty layer so it doesn't sit still for two straight bars. And if you want a darker, more neural-leaning edge, use subtle roar or erosion movement, but keep the core feeling like a sampled break. Here's a good practice exercise. Build three versions of the same amen style top loop. One clean version with only high pass and light transient enhancement. One dusty version with more saturation and mid-range grit, and one drop version with extra transient punch and a small ragga chop or fill at the end of bar 2. Then loop all three for 8 bars, switch between them, and listen for which one supports the sub-heavy bass line best. If you want the extra challenge, drop a Reese underneath and check which version leaves the cleanest space around 50 to 120 HC and the most exciting movement around 1 to 3 KHC. That's where the real decision gets made. So the big takeaway is this. An Amen-style top loop is not just a loop. It's a rhythmic system. It gives you attack, grit, swing, and personality, while still leaving room for the rest of the track to hit hard. Build it in layers. Keep the low end under control. Add just enough rag of flavor and let the loop evolve over the arrangement. That's how you get a top loop that feels underground, modern, and alive.